Chapter 12. Did I say first? I always do that. I want you to see a couple things this morning and hope it'll be a help to you. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I apologize for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And look what Paul says in verse 3. He says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve with subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted." From the simplicity that is in Christ. A corrupted mind, Paul says. A corrupted mind. Paul says in Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Paul talks about an evil conscience. I want you to look at Romans chapter 7. And this is probably a little bit more of a Bible study this morning. Romans chapter 7, and I want you to look what Paul says. In verse 15, he says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For that what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth with me. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am." You ever feel that? This is one of my favorite verses. "Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" You ever just look in the mirror and just like, "Oh, man, Havman, I'm just tired of dealing with you." You know? Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. With the flesh, the law of sin." Paul said there's a war for my mind. There's a war for my mind. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to show you this verse. Just going to have to look at them this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We can be deceived by other people and by other things. Paul says, "Let no man deceive you," right? He says your minds can be corrupted. But we can also deceive ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool." He says, don't deceive yourself. So we can be self-deceived. What is delusion? There's still an argument about the definition, but there's generally agreement on the core features of delusion. Delusion is a belief that is impossible, incredible, or false. Despite this, the individual is very sure that the belief is true. And this certainty endures despite evidence to the contrary. I guess probably there's no better way to understand delusion than to listen to people that have been through them. But there's people that believe that they're dead. There's people believe that their house is bugged. that passersby will attack them. There's people that believe that people are conspiring against them. There's people that believe that their mind is being read. Right? There's people that believe that they're a participant in a reality TV show, like right now. There's hidden cameras in here watching you. People that believe they're Hitler, Napoleon, and Jesus. Right? One man said, "This delusion was my life raft. It was the thing that kept me floating instead of sinking and drowning in a feeling of insignificance, abandonment, and hopelessness." And delusions were long considered the hallmark of madness. If you were deluded, you were mad, and then, in other words, you had some sort of psychiatric illness. Diagnosed as a psychosis, and that's still true, but we find that there's a spectrum of delusions. We find that that otherwise sane people suffer from delusions, right? If you've ever had a dear friend that was involved in a cult, right, where it's like, how can you believe that and yet every other part of their life seem very normal? You know what I'm talking about? Like, right? The delusion can be compartmentalized. But it's a real thing. It's a real thing, and none of us are completely immune from it. James Tilly Matthews believed that a gang of criminals and spies were tormenting him using rays from an heirloom machine. And Mademoiselle X, who believed that she had no brain, no nerves, no chest, no stomach, and no intestines. You know, so people think all sorts of things. And it's contrary to all evidence, they can still believe it. And so Paul talks about being deceived. And I want you to look here this morning at Exodus chapter 32, because, oh wait, before you go there, can you look at Romans 16? All right, so we're going to do this. So let's see here. I'm going to have someone pray for this lesson. Brother Hans, please pray for this lesson. Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Hans. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And look what Paul says in verse 19. "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. Yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil." Evil. Evil. What is evil? Now, you know, there's a lot of words in the Bible that seem to mean the same thing, and they're not the same, right? So we have, like, for salvation, we have sanctified, justified, right? Forgiven, right? Propitiation. These are all words that describe our salvation, but they're not exactly the same thing, right? Justified is more of a legal term, right? That you're declared righteous and you never were guilty. Forgiven means that you sinned, but it's not held to your account, right? Expiation means that it's been expunged from your account, washed away, right? Sanctification means you've been set apart. So there's these words that we sometimes use interchangeably, but they have significant meaning, right? Evil oftentimes is thought of as sin or wicked, but it's its own word. It's its own word. And the Bible uses it in a couple different ways. But one of the main ways it's used is it means dangerous or harmful. And let me show you that. Look at Exodus chapter 32. So, like I said, maybe a little bit more of a lesson this morning, but it's okay, right? You got your Bible, we're good. Amen. Exodus 32. And I don't know about you, but my biggest problem is myself. By a long shot. By a long shot. And I'm not trying to kick myself or false humility. It's true. We struggle with ourselves. And Paul, that's what Paul said. And he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Now, Exodus chapter 32, and look at verse 14. The Lord is planning on wiping out Israel, and then Moses talks him out of it. Exodus 32, 14, and the Lord repented of the what? Evil, which he thought to do unto his people. You see how the word evil cannot be synonymous with sin? Right? God can't sin. By the way, that also helps you define the word repentance. Repentance doesn't mean turning from sin. It can mean turning from sin, but not always. The Lord repented. Right? So repent. Right? Like pensive. Pensive means to think. Right? So you're rethinking something. So the Lord rethought what he was going to do to Israel. What was the Lord going to do to Israel? He's going to kill them all. Right? If the Lord would have killed them all, he would have been justified in doing it because he's incapable of sinning. Right? Right? But it was an evil thing in the sense that it was harmful or dangerous to them. Right? Look, I guess. It's like that old cracker said, right? I'll kill you dead. Dead, dead. Right? Psalm 7, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me. Evil, right? Harm, harm. It's used in that sense of doing harm. Okay? Look at Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah. I'll give you one more. Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 24 and verse, the Lord is showing Jeremiah a contrast between useful people and people that aren't useful. I know, well, some of you work with some of them. Have you ever worked with a guy that's like, "Oh my goodness, I'm picking up your slack. You are..." You know what I mean? About as worthless as... You know what I mean. You know what I mean. You got... You know. All right, but that's what he's talking about here. So Jeremiah 24, which no one in here is. Okay? Jeremiah 24 and verse 2. One basket had very good... Excuse me. Jeremiah 24, 2. Excuse me. One basket had very good figs, even like the figs that are first ripe, and the other basket had very naughty figs. I always think of Veggie Tales. You know, that's what I think. This is a fig sticking his tongue out. Do you think that? Because I do. All right, naughty figs. But naughty means like, naughty is a word for worthless, like not. It is nothing, right? All right, which could not be eaten. They were so bad. Then said Jeremiah unto me, "What seest thou, Jeremiah?" And I said, "Figs, the good figs, very good. And the what? Evil, very evil. They cannot be eaten. They are so evil." See, harmful. Past their prime, right? Chunks floating on top. You know what I'm saying? Time to throw the milk out. Evil. That's evil, right? Corrupted. Dangerous. The Lord repented of the evil, of the harm. You can see that over and over again in the Bible, that's oftentimes what the word evil means. It means harmful or dangerous. Okay, so this morning, for just a few minutes, and this will be a two-part sermon at least, I'm going to talk about an endangered mind. The mind, in many ways, controls our actions and our attitudes, right? It's the processing center. It's the RAM. It's the thing that moves things, controls impulses and actions. Although they originate in the heart, the mind and the heart. In a human being, it is connected. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? They're not, you can't you can't separate them completely, although they have distinctive features, right? You know this because, you know, I think that most people in here this morning, your heart is toward God. Yeah. Like, you had other things you could have done today, but you're here. So, as a general rule, I think that you love God. Would you say that, Kayla? You love God? Sure, right? We don't always act like it, right? Sometimes we don't. I know I don't, right? That doesn't mean that you don't love God, right? But sometimes your thinking gets messed up, right? Sometimes something gets in our head, right? And we do some things that don't necessarily represent our core beliefs. Right. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was talking to someone recently who mentioned that people are losing their minds, and I believe that. I believe there's a great battle for the mind. I think that's why Paul says, put on the helmet of salvation. We live in dangerous days. Paul says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Right? A reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Right? And he goes on to list those sins. He says later that they are backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. We live in a day where men are inventing evil things. We are surrounded by things that are dangerous and harmful to our minds. Right? Right? A lot of what you see on that screen is harmful to your mind. Amen. Absolutely. Right? This world has invented things to suck us in. Right? And we feed on those things like you feed, like a 12-year-old feeds on cotton candy at the county fair. Right? And nourishes himself and gets energy from it and then all of a sudden crashes, you know? Gets an insulin rush and eventually diabetes. And we have that. We have dangerous things that are fed to our minds, right? We have heathen philosophies, right? Philosophies that hate God, right? Saying that we came from a monkey, right? That's dangerous. Talking to a guy the other day, picked him up. He was broken down the side of a road, and I said, he went in the ditch dodging a deer. He says, I need to get home, so my friend will tow me out. And I said, where do you live? He said, Browning. But I already committed. So there we go. So there went that day. You know what I mean? One of those days. Well, we'll start again tomorrow. Anyways, got talking to him about the Lord and stuff. You know, we're talking about different philosophies, and he was a brilliant young man, and although quite high, but we are more brilliant when we're high, I guess, and we all think we are anyways. Well, I showed him there. You showed you. But he was talking about how big the universe is. And he was very quick to then deduce that it meant that we were insignificant. And he said, the problem with that is, he says, I don't know that we can survive without a belief in a higher power, without Jesus Christ. And what we have done by making the universe so big, which it is we have then deduced wrongly that means that we are insignificant. That we are just a speck that God doesn't care about. And that's what evolution has done to our young people. Well, you know what? So just live for today. Get all the pleasure you can, because none of this has any meaning. Nothing can be further. That's a dangerous philosophy, right? God knows you. He knows the very hairs on your head. He loves you. He gave his son for you. He has a plan for you. He knew you from before you were even born. Don't you ever forget it. I don't care how far they reach into the cosmos with their telescopes. It doesn't matter. God is there and God sees you. The darkness is as light to him. And so we have dangerous things that affect our minds. The Bible says that Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. The Bible says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Feed me another lie. Tell me anything. Just give me another lie to get me through the day. Just give me some more junk to feed on. Give me someone to get mad at. Right? I don't have enough emotion already. Why don't I go, you know, to Newsbreak or online and get mad at the illegal immigrants or the Democrats, or the Republicans all over again? Because life isn't stressful enough. Right? And you have people that are fritzed. Fritzed with anger. Right? Fritzed with emotion. None of us were designed to, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? No. Don't need to. Right? None of us were designed to handle as much tragedy and heartache as we get exposed to. Right? You're going to blow a circuit. You're going to blow a fuse that they don't make replacement parts for. And people do. I've seen it. All right, so we live in a dangerous world and a world that endangers our mind. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, you with me this morning? I'm just going to give you a few things, and then we'll go home, and I want you to think about it. Okay? Because I guarantee our young people, right? I guarantee you struggle with distraction. I guarantee you struggle with focus. I guarantee you struggle with poor self-worth, poor self-image. You struggle with depression. I believe in depression. I believe that people have clinical depression. I do not believe that 70% of our young people have genetic, inherent, intrinsic depression that they were born with. Give me a break. When a kid starts getting depressed, that is really sad. Kids are supposed to be happy. They're supposed to be footloose and fancy-free. The world's supposed to be their oyster. Right? They're supposed to live in that joy and innocence. And our young people are the victims of our society, right? That has done this. We've done it to them, right? And it's sad. And I don't get me wrong. I believe there's legitimate ADD, legitimate depression, right? There's legitimate cases. But what we're dealing with right now is not that. You're dealing with a mind that just has too many distractions, right? Too many avenues to go down. Too many things to check out, right? And then too many things that corrupt it and slow it down, like viruses on your computer, right? Why is this taking so long? Well, because you've got 50 million viruses on there. We have viruses in our brain. Amen, right? And where did I say go? 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 33. Look what he says. He says, be not deceived. Evil what? Communications. All right. Things that endanger our minds, evil communications. What's communications? Well, in the old days, it was telegraph and telephone and knitting parties. Quilting. All right. It was prayer meeting at church. What is it now? It's in your pocket. It's in your glasses. Dangerous communiques, prince of the power of the air, evil communications. I want you to look at this verse, Acts chapter 14. I think that we don't realize how much what we see and what we hear affects us. I'll give you an example. When I saw Charlie Kirk get shot, when I saw the actual video, it bothered me. You know, but I have seen some things in my life that I wish I hadn't seen. But, you know, but my wife saw it. My kids saw it. And I'm telling you, for a few days, there was something wrong in our house. It was trauma. You're not supposed to see that stuff. You're not. Right? What we do is the plan of the devil is to expose us to where we get hard to it, and that's a bad thing. It should hurt you when you see someone get hurt. It should bother you. Amen. And look what the Bible says in Acts 14, verse 2. It says this, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds, what's the next two words? Evil affected. Our minds can be affected evilly. Now, in this case, it's gossip and it's false teaching and it's libel, right? And mudslinging. But you know, we need to be careful what we hear. We're not. It goes in there, and it stays in there. You can hear bad things about a person, and you're like, I don't believe that. But over time, it builds up, and then that person will do something. You'll be like, oh, yeah, you are that. And it's not always true. It's not always true, but those thoughts and those things, that gossip that people say, it's planted in your mind. And your mind begins to view people differently than what is true. That's why we ought to be careful about listening to other people tear other people down, right? Because it gets in there whether we blow it off or not. Right. That's a dangerous affection of our mind. It's dangerous. It's harmful, right? We will act according to that eventually. We need to be careful about what we hear. Amen. Paul says, I'll have you wise concerning good and simple concerning it. We do not need to know everything. We do not need to know every bad thing that's going on in the world. We do not need to know bad things about our people that we love.
Right, exactly.
Amen. Sometimes we need to stop people when they start talking. Do I need to hear this? I don't need to hear this. Right. I'm not talking about, look, I mean, if there's like a pervert around here or something, all right, wave the red flag, all right? I get, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about idle talk that we don't need to say because our feelers got hurt. Come on now. Amen. For your obedience, Romans 16:9, has come abroad to all men. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf. I would have you wise concerning that which is good. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that charity thinketh no evil. We ought to try to think good things about people. We ought to love a good report. Amen. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. The Bible says the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Right? So you know what we do? We put poison in our mind, and we think it's not going to affect us. You know? But it's old school poison. It's not fall over and die now. Right? It's a couple sprinkles of arsenic in your coffee every morning. Then all of a sudden you're like, why is Dad sick? Well, Mom's done with him. Yeah, we're talking Black Widow type stuff, right? You slow death, but die sooner than you should. Right? And that's what we do. You know, I know it's poison. So this is what we do all the time. Yeah, I know it's poison. Yeah, I know it's poison. Oh, yeah, it's poison. Yeah, it's poison. Right? Right? I mean, you go into a room full of asbestos and just be, yeah. Get in there with a sawzall. Right? But that's what we do. How do we think these things don't affect us? You don't need to know everything. Man, the phrases, the things about intimate things that our kids know, it's sad. Sad. You don't need to know all that stuff. You're fine without it. Yes, you are. Don't let people make you feel bad because you don't know all the dirty slang. You're better off not knowing. There's no end to it, and it just gets viler and viler. Right? Corrupts your mind. Speak evil and no man. Amen. Well, I want you to look at Romans chapter 14. So we ought to watch who we talk to, what we talk about, and what we put into our eyes, what we put into our ears. Amen. Evil communications, you know. Let me tell you, as long as I'm talking about it, I don't care if this offends you. A steady diet of country music will turn you into trash. You're welcome. Why? Because everything they sing about is trash. How can you suck that stuff in for 9 or 10 hours a day, right? right? About sleeping with him, sleeping with her, partying here, getting drunk here, wrecking the truck here, right? Cheating here. That's all it is. The whole thing, right? It's teen drama at its best, right? And it's trash at its worst. Amen? And you're going to listen to that all day and then be like, I don't know why, I just don't feel close to God. Because you're meditating on things that are ungodly. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So just, you know what? Cut down on it or find some good stuff, you know? You know, I don't know, Kenny Rogers. Even Kenny Rogers sometimes can be dirty. You know? But this stuff today, I don't know what it is, but it's garbage. It's garbage. And by the way, you know, these guys all, you know, they pass themselves off as these good old country boy conservatives. They don't even take their hat off when they come indoors. That's weird to me. You know? Do you sleep in your cowboy hat? You just insecure about your little bald spot? You know? Weird to me, man. You know, these are people that we follow. You say, well, I don't follow them. I follow the Lord. Well, listen, when these people have your ear and your mind and the majority of your day, you're following them. Right? We even call it following now. We click on it, and every time they say something, another stupid thing, right, it comes up on our feed. Right? And that's another thing. It's called a feed. Right? You know what kind of feed it is? It's the same thing my Grandpa Joe used to feed to the pigs. Come on! Come on! Come on! And slop. And you throw a baby in there, they'll eat it. Dead serious. Right? That, you call it a feed, right? And it's a gross feed. It's garbage. You're feeding on garbage. Be careful. Be careful. Look what he says in Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I'm in John 14. You see what's going on? I'm struggling with my mind. Romans chapter 14. Look what he says here in verse 20. He says this. He says, for meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure. But it is an evil for that man who eateth with offense. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about your conscience. He's talking about your mind and conscience being defiled. That's what Paul says. Right? It's an evil thing. It's evil for that man. What? It's evil for that man. What's he talking about in Romans 14? He's talking about someone that doesn't think he should do something, but he does it anyways. Right? Regardless of whether it's right or wrong in the Bible, this man feels that it's wrong. And Paul says, don't do it because that defiles your conscience. There's things that you're approached with in life that you feel wrong about. And if you feel wrong about it, don't do it. Because that conscience, right, that's an alarm that God gives you. When something is kind of a gray area or you're not sure, that's an alarm that goes off, right? Well, if you constantly defile your conscience, constantly do those things that you feel wrong about, that alarm wears off. It wears out. It burns out. The light bulb burns out. The ringer burns out. And then pretty soon, it doesn't go off anymore. And the Bible calls that a seared conscience, right? And so we are constantly bombarded with things that offend our conscience and that we feel like we shouldn't be listening to, that we shouldn't be watching, and we do it anyways. And eventually, we don't feel wrong about it anymore. And that's a dangerous place to be. We ought to be bothered by certain things. That right there, I don't want to see that. I don't want to think about that. That's wrong. I don't want to excuse it. And I don't want it in my life. Because the more I allow it in my life, the more hard I get to it, the more callous I get to it. Then it doesn't bother me anymore. And then pretty soon, what people end up doing is they start wearing it on the outside because they don't even notice it anymore. Right? And that for a lot of things. Look at Colossians chapter 3. So I'm talking to us today. Why? Because, you know, there's just, I'm not a Viking, right? I'm not planning on getting in a boat, going to Polson, and raiding and capturing people, clubbing them, and stealing their goods. Like, that is not a temptation of our day and age. Does that make sense? Right? But every one of us, from me, all around this room, struggles with this stuff because we're bombarded by it. Right? Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, mortify, right? Kill it. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, this is the one I want you to see, evil concupiscence, that's a great word. Evil concupiscence, right? That's a conjuring up or a fostering or a petting, making a pet of something evil. Right? Yeah. Right? Sometimes, and what am I saying? An endangered mind is a mind that has poor thought control. Okay? That's what evil concupiscence is. It's when you are, I can't even say the word, but it's a good word. It's very unique. Right? It's where you have a thought in your mind or in your heart, and you kind of feed it. You kind of keep it in the corner, and you don't put it away. You don't mortify it. You don't say, I'm dead to that. That's wrong. You just kind of keep it around and feed it once in a while. Like resentment. Right? Or jealousy. Right? Or some sort of desire or lust that's inappropriate. You don't quite get rid of it. Right? You feed it. And sometimes people feed it a little bit and then feel bad about it, but you never completely repent of it. Right? And that's dangerous. Why? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and eventually those thoughts will be fulfilled in some way. Right? Those thoughts become actions. And it's very dangerous. And the Bible says we're to think no evil. Evil concupiscence. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I mean, I'll just be blunt here, okay? I'll be very blunt. I feel for our young people. I do. Okay? Because what you have such easy access to, it breaks my heart. I didn't have access to that stuff. And look, everything on there is geared to attract, right, your natural desires. Okay? And, you know, I mean, I grew up in Montana, you know, and I mean, outside of floating the Blackfoot, I never, you know, saw much. I remember, but, you know, as you grow up, you travel a little bit, and, you know, it's like, you know, your first time on a California beach, you know, and you're a young man, you're like, Well, look, every man's attracted to a beautiful woman. It's natural. Okay? It's what you do next that matters. Right? Okay, and so men are naturally attracted to a beautiful woman, and you know what the devil has done? He's put them in front of your face constantly. Constantly. You want to talk about dangerous? Dangerous. For a number of reasons. For a number of reasons. First of all, you don't have to work at all. You don't have to send flowers. You don't have to learn how to talk and say, hi, my name is. She's just there. That's not reality. Not only that, it gives you the advantage, it gives you the impression that women want to be taken advantage of. She doesn't want to be treated that way. That's an actor. That's an actress. That's not normal. Right now, the young ladies in our society feel like that's what they have to be like to get the young men's attention. You know what the end of that is? Real problems that I won't get into in mixed company, right? It rots your brain. It's so... I'm not even talking about it from the sin standpoint. Yes, it's sin. We know that. but it's also very dangerous to your psyche. It rewires your brain in the area of intimacy. Big time. And I can talk more about that, but you've got to find a way to get off that junk. It'll kill you. It'll kill you. It'll mess with your marriage. It'll mess with it. It'll mess with that clean young lady that you marry. Boy, oh boy. It's dangerous. Right? Now, I want you, where'd I say go? I don't even know. There's so much here. There's so much here. I want you to see this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Yeah, I'm all over the place today. If you knew what I've been studying lately, you should pray for me. I'm kind of all over the place. I apologize. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Now look what he says. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railing. Now I want you to look at this. Evil what? Ooh, that's a bad one. That's a bad one. What's dangerous? Evil surmisings. Dangerous surmisings. What's that? Assuming. This is delusion. Assuming people are thinking that about you. Assuming people are saying things about you. Assuming you gave a particular impression. It's dangerous to surmise. Bible says, make your yea, yea, your nay, nay. Right? Just listen. If you spent, listen, you're not in the mafia. No one here is going to plug you in the back of the head when you walk through that door if you read them wrong. Okay? So it's better just to go off what people say, not what you think they say. And for that matter, that's why you keep texting to a minimum, because you can't get the tone in a text. It's dangerous. Because people are like, oh, I bet they're thinking this. You have no idea what they're thinking. They might just be answering your text. You read tone of text. The better thing to do, especially if you struggle with that, is pick up the phone and call them and talk to them. Because you will ruin your day making up things in your mind that aren't even true, and it'll turn you into a basket case. I mean, loony, howl at the moon. Right. Seriously. I mean, never mind. I was going to say something, but I won't. Hey, thank you, Lord. Evil surmisings. Evil surmisings. That's a dangerous thing. The Bible says, charity doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. What do you do as a Christian? You have to decide that you're not going to think the worst. You say, well, what if they are the worst? Let God handle them. What's going to happen if you think better of somebody and they do you wrong? What are they going to do? Well, they might hurt my feelings. Okay. What do you think Jesus Christ did every day of his life? Gave people the benefit of the doubt, loved them, and let them hurt him. Right? Rather than, I'm going to get the first punch in. Right? Like I said, we're not the Crips and the Bloods here. If you read me wrong or I read you wrong, no one's getting whacked. Amen. I'll tell you something. Girls, love you. All right? You have a problem with feeds too. Okay? There's going to be stuff on there. You're going to get some know-it-all, little bimbo, right, who gets on there and who has a perfect home and a perfect kitchen, right, and perfect kids. She's full of crap. Okay? She gets mustard under her fingernails when she cleans her baby's diapers too. She just doesn't show that part, unless you're on that kind of blog. I don't know. But, you know, you will go on, and you know what it'll show you? It'll show you that you'll start thinking, my life isn't that great. She's just making money off of advertisers making stuff up to make you think that you're not a good mom. Right? Can you imagine? You go on there, that perfect blogger, can you imagine living with her? miserable. And she'll, but they will make, that's discontent. The Bible says, my eye affected my heart. And you go in there and all of a sudden, your life was fine. Your husband's fine. Your kids are fine. The meal you ate is fine. The clothes your kids have is fine. And then you went on there and you decided that nothing in your life is fine. You let them evilly affect your mind. Don't let them do that. Amen. The Bible says, he that will love life and see good days. Don't you want to have a good day? One of the worst ways to have a good day is look over the fence. The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. You're welcome. I love you. That's why I'm trying to help you. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Covetousness, man, it'll kill you. Right? It evilly affects your mind. Why? Because you're always thinking about things and how you're going to hold on to them and might take them. What'll happen if you don't have them? There's a lot of things here. But I'm gonna move forward. You say you're done? No, but I'm gonna be done. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you, keep you from the evil. So we're surrounded by dangerous things. So, but the Lord has promised to help us with that. Okay? The Bible says, let that man eschew evil, right? Push it away and do good. Seek peace and ensue it. So we need to learn as Christians to push away things that are dangerous for our minds. Push them away. Push away those thoughts. You say, I can't quit thinking about it. See, that's where you're wrong. Stop saying I can't. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Can't is a cop-out. It is a cop-out. Paul says this. He says that we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity, into the knowledge of Christ. We are able to. We are able to control our thoughts. Spurgeon said this. He said, you cannot keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. And the thoughts will come, but you cannot let them take root. You cannot let them stay. And what you have to do, and I want to show you this verse, and we'll let you go. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I'll just, right? What you have to do, because nature abhors a vacuum. What happens if you plow up your garden this spring and just leave bare dirt? Weeds. Okay, so you can't do that. So it's, yes, you have to push the thoughts out, but if you don't put something else in, it's just going to fill back up, right? So look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and I did not finish this study. I don't intend to. I want to let you go this morning. I've given you a lot to think about. Romans chapter 12, and look at verse, I think it's verse 12, right? It's not verse 12. Where is it? It's 21. See, that's dyslexia. Poor me. I quit. That's the other thing. We all have stuff. Can I tell you that? We all have stuff. You want to come up into my... No, I'm not going to tell you, because then you'll start seeing it in the pulpit. So I try not to tell you. I have stuff. Right? I had an uncle that lived in a chicken coop. Okay? See, now you see these crazy eyes? See these eyes? These are crazy eyes. You're like, oh yeah, that's Pastor Havman. He's crazy. No, we're all crazy. We all have stuff, right? But for some reason, we have decided that it's okay to take this stuff and make a pet out of it and feed it. Aren't you cute? It's my little stuff. We all think it's okay now. Right? Don't let those issues define you. You are created a new creature in Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God which always giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. We are not to allow these things to control us. Is it going to be a battle? Yes. It's a battle. That's why Paul says put on the whole armor of God. But don't act like we can't act, and this is an act of faithlessness. We cannot say that it's something we can't win. No, no, no. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Look what he said. And I've had, I'm sure that I've had as many depressive and mental struggles as most people in this room, except a couple of you. You're special, and I love you. All right? I keep you around just to make me feel better. I really enjoy your pain. Isn't that terrible? I'm teasing. All right. Yeah, I know. It's sick. It's sick, man. It's sick. Look what he says, Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You know what you have to do? You have to fight. You have to fight back. And you overcome it with good. Last verse, Philippians 4. All right? Just the Bible study. Philippians chapter 4. I'll finish it next week. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. See, whatsoever things are true, right? Well, you know what? I think she thinks this about me. That's not true. You ever think about that, your friend? Devise not evil against your neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. You got someone that loves you, has been there with you in your life, and you will let your mind turn them into an enemy. And you just have to remind yourself, I remember that one time she wrote me a card. Remember that one time that we were having a hard time and we encouraged each other. You have to think back on all the true things. You know, I've seen people turn their spouse into the worst person you could ever live with. You know, and we all have stories about our spouse. Right? But you know what? You get to the point you're not focusing on everything. You're not focusing on the true things and the honest things and the lovely things anymore. All you're seeing is the bad things. Right? And look what he says. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. See, good report. I don't want to hear it if it's not a good report. I don't care that you think that guy's an idiot. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, now what's he say? All right, that's how you push the evil out. You find lovely, honest, pure, just, fair, lovely, right? Things that are of good report, virtuous things, and you purpose to think on those things. This is what I'm thinking about today. And with practice, just like anything else mental, you get better at it. You say, that's going to be hard. Yeah, but you get better with practice. Right? What's going to happen this week if you decide to do this? The thoughts are going to come in. You're going to push them out. You're going to replace them with good things. They're going to come in again. You're going to push them out, replace them with good things. But then the good things are going to start taking on a life of their own, and your brain will start to rewire itself. No, literally. Right? Those neuroreceptors will start connecting new lines of thought and communication in your brain. And as time goes on, it will become easier to think about good things, just like right now it's easier to think of bad things. Right? Easier for young people. We call it neuroplasticity. Right? Your brain is soft. As you get older, you get hard-headed, literally. Right? Some of you would probably take a hammer to your head and be like, boing! You know? Good luck with obeying this sermon. All right, do you get something? Let's pray.